This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the Morning Run, 7:35, just turning 7:36 right now, Tuesday, the 2nd of August. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got the two gentlemen here with me, Julian Ng and Kusu Chong. Not sure how much
men,
of a gentleman
men maybe
you are.
La, but gentle, I'm not sure.
Okay, we're taking a look at the biggest business headlines of the day. Chinese ride-hailing service Didi Chuxing has agreed to buy Uber's China business. This is big news. It values the combined company at $35 billion. Now, if you remember, Apple invested about $1 billion in Didi back in May. But now that, is this Uber waving a white flag for its business in China?
Well, yeah, you've got to interpret it that way, isn't it? Because American corporations have been having a real hard time in China, given where regulatory concerns are. And I guess protection of domestic interests. Uber's exit, graceful by some definitions, follows the shuttering by Google of its Chinese search engine in 2010, censorship concerns, I think.
Yeah, but this, I think
Facebook
this one...
Facebook as well, Twitter?
This one
Yahoo
does not
well.
Have
well.
Right. so much of a regulatory... aspect to it, as
it's,
much as a competitive aspect.
It's
and
a
Uber,
commercial aspect, isn't
Uber
it?
Actually said as much that the competition in China is so bloody that they're losing about $1 billion a year. They've been there for 2 years.
They've sold $2 billion.
They've lost about $2 billion. And this is the thing that is really throwing a spanner in the works for their IPO plans. So this deal actually, according to them, will pave the way for a kind of Uber IPO. And that is the kind of IPO that I think all the investment bankers around the world would salivate over.
Oh yeah!
After the last big one called Alibaba, this one would be
oh, that tiny
pretty
one.
Huge.
I remember
right?
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but do you think that the reason Uber couldn't take hold in China is because you know that there was favoritism to a local company? I mean, no doubt Didi is massive, and they've been doing stuff around the world as well. But can Didi fight Uber in other markets apart from China?
Well, it's not entirely clear from the story, but you're right. In China, Didi has, I think they count for 8 of every 10 rides in the service. Uber only accounts for 1 of every 10. But this is interesting because both the founders, Travis Kalanick and Cheng Wei, I think Didi Chuxing's founder, they've both gotten out of their respective driver seats and gotten into the back of the car and started holding hands because this is really a partnership, really. It's a bit of a merger. Uber would get a 5.9% direct stake, but has economic interest equivalent to something like 18% in China.
So
including
Uber,
the share of future profits.
Uber right now has a share in Didi Kuaixing or Didi Chuxing.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether this would set the anti-monopolist tongues wagging, you know, because the whole idea about Uber displacing the taxis, that people are worried that a monopolistic situation would be formed. Now that two of the largest ride-sharing operators in the world have started to hold hands, what do you think? Will this set off anti-monopolistic sentiment?
Well, it depends because although Didi and Uber have 90% of the market, the overall taxi market is I don't know how much, right?
Are there antitrust laws in China?
Yeah, there would be, I think, okay. Because
there would be, yeah.
This will still be subject to some kind of regulatory scrutiny.
Right.
So the Chinese government is also kind of keeping close eyes on this. But I don't think so because I think it's quite obvious that Uber has thrown a lot of money at us, right? To just make us go on these cars and ride them. Not only Uber, but people like Grab and so on. So this is a kind of new sharing type economy business where the company will give you money, some money to ride on their cars. And this can only benefit us for the long term. And if Uber and Didi try to do do a fast one on the market and to gain more power, predatory pricing in the market, I think there would be no shortage of competitors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Bloomberg, in writing the story, also got a comment from Anthony Tan. He's the Grab founder and chief executive in Asia. And it's interesting, his observation, because, Anthony Tan says that this deal underscores the importance of being a local in the market.
Right.
And I think that goes to the number of what you're saying, Melissa, because Uber are still, after all, an American company trying to make a fist of it in China.
Well, they're very smart, Didi Chuxing, that is, because last year they also, I think, were aware of this, local is global. They tied up with Ola in India. And they also tied it with Grab because of the Southeast Asian presence here. So they've understood the need to tie up with market leaders in each country. Okay, well, let's take a look at other news. Tesla announced plans yesterday to buy SolarCity in an all-stock deal worth $2.6 billion. Both companies are controlled by Elon Musk.
Yeah, so theoretically, it sounds like a good deal because SolarCity controls the power generating back end, whereas Tesla are the manifestations of the renewable power with their vehicles. And there's all kinds of applications down the down the line. The only problem is because both companies are controlled by the same person, Elon Musk. And it calls up concerns of corporate governance and related party transactions, right, which no one likes. Those are dirty words in the corporate world.
Yeah, but Elon Musk also recused himself from voting in the deal. So this really was approved fair and square by the unconflicted shareholders. And the market also made its decision because SolarCity went up quite substantially in pricing, whereas Tesla lost, shaved off about $4 billion of market cap. I think that you're right. They want to make the accountability and the governance and structure of the organization a little bit neater. Mm. It's according to Elon Musk, he says that this is one of the most integrated alternative companies in the world because Tesla, as you say, Chuang, is a manifestation of storage. Tesla is storing the power, whereas the SolarCity is generating the power. So the two go together.
There's synergy there for sure. Yeah. But and I'm sure there are ways to incorporate more checks and balances and to avoid any kind of, you know, I'm going to say misappropriation, but that's a bad word here.
But you're right. Solar panel installations with SolarCity and car batteries and you know, electricity storage with the car. So they're quite integrated in that respect.
Actually, it's quite revolutionary. I think they have this ambition. Of course, Elon Musk is a person who has no shortage of ambition. Mm-hmm. They want to displace, we're talking about disruption here again, right? Uber is displacing the taxis and Elon Musk wants to displace the electric generators. He wants to put a battery into your homes and take you off the grid by getting power from the sun alone and charging the battery, and that battery will power your aircons and your TVs and your internet.
He wants to disrupt the oil market, which which apparently continued oil supply glut in the market could mean sustained a low oil price environment for the short to medium term. I guess this is bad news for renewable energy then, you know, continued low oil prices.
Yeah, I mean, much has been made about the transition from fossil fuels to renewable sources. But low oil prices, and I think earlier we mentioned, I think it's something like a 97-year high in terms of inventories. And now India wants to also stockpile its supplies. Already there's so much oil stored underground and in VLCCs, which is the very large crude carriers. So there's so much of it gushing around, you don't know what to do with it.
It also shows that the Saudi stratagem has kind of failed to put the shale producers out of business. Oil is still gushing out of everywhere.
So what does this mean for us as an oil-producing country?
It means our ringgit is going to go down again,
And it also means that oil prices would have another choppy year. Joe Quinlan, whom we spoke to this morning, saying that he expects oil to move back down to the 30-something level.
Really?
Not below 30 bucks, but at least around the 30-something level. And I think this will, again, put us into a very anxious situation. Malaysia would have oil anxieties again.
Well, I mean, we've got at least four or five oil-related sources, from the petroleum tax to petroleum's dividends to our direct income, and you know, both in the short and longer term, because you know, sometimes the money doesn't come in until a little bit later.
Well, you know, Melissa, you were saying earlier that the alternatives would put the oil fossil fuels out of business, or the other way around.
Well,
cheap oil
prices could dampen efforts to adopt renewable energy.
Actually, somebody like Elon Musk would disagree with you because this is an investment into the long term. You need to buy it once and then you get it free for the rest of your life, right? So free is still... I think it could be the other way around, that the cheaper alternatives are possibly driving oil prices down lower rather than the cheap oil prices giving a challenge to the alternatives.
Well, they're probably both working in the same direction. But look, I mean, once cars become cheap enough to buy and the proposition becomes more attractive of using fossil fuel derived cars, then obviously we're going to, you know, the market will start moving naturally towards it. Right now, Tesla cars are still so expensive, and you can't charge them every, you know, every 100 meters or so. You've got to look for a charging station.
200 kilometers is what they're good for. Yeah. That's the range, and that's not enough.
200 kilometers? I can't even get to Penang.
You've got to refuel at Ipoh, recharge at Ipoh.
Well, imagine,
imagine running out of juice on the highway, then you think, oh my goodness, right?
You can push your Tesla car.
Yeah.
But then it's good for just driving to work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 7:46 right now. We've got more local business news coming up. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.